So I usually like to try to give a title to a homily to give a sense of it. So this one I titled, The Pearl of Great Price, Here and Now. So now we're looking at parables. So when we're dealing with any parable, the details, this is going to sound strange to you perhaps, but the details of the parable are never meant to be stressed. The parable has one main point. And it is to that point that everything else is subservient. Everything else in the parable serves that one main point. In this particular parable, then, the great point is the joy of the discovery that the man was willing to give up everything to make the treasure, without doubt, his very own. Nothing else in the parable really matters. I say, well, then why is it there? Well, because it helps us to clarify what the real point is. And so the lesson of this particular parable is, first of all, that the man found this precious thing, but he found it in this way. Not so much did he find it by chance or by accident, as in his day's work. For example, he in fact was at his daily work. So it's true that he kind of stumbled upon it unexpectedly, but that happened to him as he was going about his day, doing what he was meant to do each and every day of his life. It's not as if he stopped doing everything and started doing something else to try to find this great treasure that perhaps he had turned about. So it was right in the course of his, in other words, you know, there's that expression of to grow where you're planted. You know, sometimes we think, well, maybe the Lord wants me to go here or there or here or there, when in fact he's planted us, in our case, here in this parish for a particular reason. I like to think it's been a pretty good reason for all of us. I know it certainly is for myself. So the treasure and the pearl, which represent the kingdom of God as the supreme value for which no sacrifice is too great. We cannot do enough to earn it or warrant it or to try to find it. Now, in the second reading today from Romans, this particular reading, it forms somewhat of a transition, taking us a transition from sort of the shadowy side of our human nature and Christian existence to the glorious destiny that awaits the redeemed. In other words, as we go from day to day, there's stuff that happens. We get into a mess every now and then. We don't always do the things that we want to do or we should, and so on and all that. So, but this is helping us to bring a transition to keep the focus in the right way. And that focus is always on God, Jesus, power, Holy Spirit. And so it's not just a pious make-believe to say that everything will turn out all right in the end. You know, oh, don't worry, it's okay. So it is an assurance based upon what the believers have already experienced. In other words, Jesus is just reinforcing that what you have already experienced, this is true, this is real. My resurrection, the power of the Holy Spirit, the healings that you have seen, the deliverances that you've seen, the community coming together, all of the things that you have seen, that you have experienced, these are true, and indeed they are from God. In other words, then, the Christian, what is called the eschatological, the end times, for us as Christians, it's not for something totally different from what we already have. We're already a little bit in the midst. That's why I included in the title about the here and now. This is the pie in the sky when we die, but rather it is the ultimate fruition of our present life in Christ. In other words, where we are going ultimately in this journey of ours, it is the ultimate fruition. It is what it is meant to be and what Jesus has promised it will be. And so it is a here and now grace. We don't have to wait just until we arrive at some other particular place, but that we continue to grow day by day in spirit, in our life, and in various ways, gradually working our way home. We're never going to have the perfect fullness, the perfect completeness of everything that the Lord has in store for us until finally the day when He calls us back home to that place from whence we came, that place to which we long to be, and indeed where ultimately we do belong. And so the intention then of this particular gospel is to speak of the kingdom of God as the supreme value, something to be preferred above everything else. Doesn't mean we can't prefer other things. Doesn't mean we can't hope for or want or enjoy and seek other things as well. That's all part of it. But ultimately, this is the supreme value to which we are headed and which we want to inherit. And so the kingdom of God is of such great value that the most drastic action is worth taking to gain it. In other words, maybe there might be a few little things that we might have to do, maybe a few things in our life that might have to change so that we can come back more onto the pathway that the Lord is calling us to. We know that in our day and age, you know, when we hear about the church when it first started and throughout the many centuries, how there were great persecutions. Well, the persecution may not be such a peril for the church, for us today at this particular time, certainly not as bad as it was in the time of Matthew. But doctrinal and moral laxity certainly are. In other words, it's not the same kind of persecution, it's not the same kind of difficulty that we're faced with, but it's more the difficulty of trying to help people to live the moral life based on the values that we learn from our faith and from our teachers and so on. And so, our faith is not some type of a pie in the sky, everything will be okay. The believer is urged to take drastic action. Each of us, to take perhaps drastic action to remain faithful to God and to remain faithful to God's kingdom. Because remember, he keeps repeating in the gospel, the kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of God is like, and he gives us about three or four different examples. And so our being here is a little bit, just a little bit of like it will be for us ultimately when we enter into the eternal Eucharist taking place in heaven for all time. And so the lesson of the parable is also, secondly, that it is worth any sacrifice to enter that kingdom. Well then, what does it mean to enter the kingdom? We enter the kingdom is to accept and to do God's will. That's what it means. We listen for God's will, we seek God's will, we seek the guidance and interaction of the Holy Spirit, and then we do what we believe the Lord is calling us to do. So then it is worth anything to do God's will. And like in the gospel today, suddenly as that man discovered the treasure, there may be a flash that comes upon us in some moment, a certain aha experience, a certain illumination, or, oh my God, I never realized that before. I never knew that before. I never thought of this before. The conviction of what God's will is for us. Oh, I see now that I am in a place that the Lord has called me to be. I didn't recognize it. It took me 30, 40, 50, 60, 100 years to realize and accept that this is where He's wanted me all the time. And so to accept it may be to perhaps have to give up certain aims, certain ambitions, certain hopes or wishes or dreams or desires, which are very dear to us. There's nothing wrong with them. We're entitled to wish for them and hope for them. But maybe the Lord is calling us further to abandon certain habits, maybe abandon a certain way of life, which are very difficult for us to be able to let go of and to lay them down for the sake of following the Lord. To take on a discipline and self-denial, which are no means easy for any of us to do. Now, I know that that kind of language can sometimes sound sort of like a little bit scary, but consider the purpose for which we make the choices that we make. And that's where we're going in a couple of minutes as we come to the conclusion of the homily, to take us from where we are in the here and now to what it is that we are headed towards, where the Lord is leading us in the future will be. And so there are other perils, there are other pearls, but only one pearl is of great price. That is to say, there are many fine things, many good things, many worthwhile things in the world, many things in which one person can be drawn to. that it seemed to be so lovely and so beautiful, and indeed they are, nothing wrong with them. We can find loveliness in knowledge, perhaps, and in the reaches of the human mind, in the recesses of the human mind, in art and music and literature, all the triumphs of the human spirit. We can find loveliness in serving our fellow man, in being here together with one another, to care for, to love one another, and to help one another. We can find loveliness and beauty in human relationships. So these are all lovely, they're all beautiful, but they are all lesser beauties. They are all lesser loveliness. Nothing wrong with them. But with God, you know, the Ignatian spirituality teaches us, when St. Ignatius taught about the magis, which is the more. With God, there is always more. When he gives us this much, it's because he wants to give us that much, and that much, and that much, and so on. There is always more. And so the supreme beauty lies in the acceptance of the will of God the Father, and being willing to accept and follow God's will, no matter the cost. And this is not to belittle, again, the other things. They, too, are pearls. But the supreme pearl is the willing obedience that makes us friends of God. That is the highest that we can go. So again, we hear the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for pearls. Well, for each and every one of us, surely we could ask ourselves, what are you looking for? What am I looking for? What am I searching for in life? And certainly everybody is searching for something. Sometimes we're aware, sometimes we're not. Children, for example, might long for a special toy or a game. Teenagers look for a boyfriend or a girlfriend or success at school. Working people might be seeking out the next big career opportunity. People of any age could be wanting financial security or peace of mind. Nothing wrong with any of those things, and we all want some of that, if not all of that, in some way, shape, or form in our lives. Today's gospel, however, introduces us to someone who is also a seeker, a merchant on a quest for the finest of pearls, the top of the line, the best you can get. So in the midst then of his search, he finds something far more wonderful than what he had expected, much more than we could ever want, know, hope for, or imagine. And so one single pearl of surpassing value, a pearl of great price. And so seeing it, he gives up the search for these other fine pearls, and he commits himself fully to obtaining that one beautiful pearl. That's the one he's after. So much so that he sells everything else that he can so that he might be able to buy it. Well, now surely, I think when we read that, we must realize that surely the merchant wasn't able to sell everything all in one shot. He probably had to do it at different times. And there may have been times when he doubted himself, thinking, you know, I must be nuts. What the heck am I thinking? Where am I going? This can't be right. But he kept at it. He stayed with it day after day, item after item, until finally he had it, the pearl of his dreams. At last, he was content. He found the fullness of the dream that he sought. Jesus says to us that this merchant shows us what the kingdom of heaven is like. Yes, it is made up of people like us searching for happiness. Strange, you know, I guess we sort of think of the kingdom of heaven and all of that as a out there, up there somewhere. But again, it's already happening here and now. In some ways, the things that we seek can make us happy. But finding Jesus and being part of his kingdom far surpasses the happiness that anything else can give us in our life, or indeed even anyone else can give us in our lives. Nothing wrong with seeking happiness from one another and with spouses and so on and so forth. But in Jesus, we find the answer to our deepest longings for the love and reconciliation that we all hunger for security and fulfillment, for purpose and for meaning. Make no mistakes, dear sisters and brothers, things that we long for can often be good things. But remember the merchant. There was nothing wrong with the pearls he was trading in, yet he sold all of them for that one pearl of great price. Well, just to wrap up in 2 minutes, I want to share with you some suggestions of how we can open ourselves more to the reality of this great pearl in our lives in the here and now. These are just some thoughts that I will share with you. I'm sure that you may have some of your own thoughts and ideas of how you can pursue it as well. But in our case, there's a question of perhaps considering to join an alpha group if you haven't had a chance to already, or at least come and see and find out more about it. You can offer your talents and gifts in service to the church. The way everything is set up and the church being clean, it's because people have offered their time and talent and treasure to make it possible. It never would have happened if only Father Mike and the two other people had to do it. Everybody pitched in. To take part in a connect group, perhaps, or for the children, catch the wave. To join in as an individual or join as a family. Bring your children, bring your relatives, friends. Share the joy, share the faith, share the wonder, share the grace of a living faith radiating from the very flame of the fire of the Holy Spirit at work in you already. That little fan, that little bit of fire that's there, the Lord says, come on, fan the flame. Let's get this fire going. And so this then is what we are living for. The challenge is to make choices and decisions to live with morals and values which prepare us for the kingdom of heaven, this pearl of great price. So live your life, sisters and brothers. Make your decisions, make your choices, make your commitments. But as you do so, make all of that doing so from a heart that is filled with life and love, with wonder and awe, with the awesomeness of being a child of God. Live the commandments of God and the morals and the values of the life of a creation of God. You are God's very own being whom He created out of His very own self. Start living the pearl of great price, the pearl which is that of the supreme value, our gracious, glorious destiny, the ultimate fruition, the ultimate goal, the ultimate fruit of our lives, the ultimate fruit of our here and now to where we are going, of our present life. The ultimate end of that is life in Christ, with Christ, back home in heaven for all eternity. And so live for the good of all and the pearl of great price, and it will be yours, the great pearl at work in each and every one of us right here and right now. Dear sisters and brothers, I pray with all my being, my heart, my faith, my love for you, trust in God, all the good things that are happening for us in this parish. I pray that may Almighty God continue to bless you and your family, to bless you with great joy and peace and love and the life of the great pearl of the great price here and now. God bless you.